بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. اللہ تعالیٰ سے قرآن والذین اذا فعلوا فاحشة او ظلموا انفسهم ذکروا اللہ فاستغفروا لذنوبهم ومن یغفر الذنوب الا اللہ ولم یصروا علی ما فعلوا وهم یعلمون. In this ayat, Allah Ta'ala speaks over those people who commit those actions which is against the law of Allah, all indecent acts which Allah Ta'ala does not want you to do, and they commit those acts, and thereafter they make tawbah, because there's no one else besides Allah forgives. But this وَلَمْ يُسِرُّوا عَلَى مَا فَعَلُوا. But then you find those people who persist. The word persist means continuously even commit the guna when they have knowledge of it. وَمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. Now this is a very dangerous thing. When a person has the knowledge of a sin and they also persist and continue doing it, that is a very big sin. And then he shows off about it. He boasts about his sins. And he feels very high and mighty about those sins. And he begins to talk to everyone about the sin. And he feels that he's done nothing. He's done nothing. Now when a person becomes that open and no shame at all, then you must know that he has opened the doors of Jahannam for him. For example, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah said a very nice thing. He said, the sin that is most severe, is that sin which you persist into. That sin which you persist into. Because when the person begins to persist and continue committing the sin, then there's a veil between him and Allah. There's a veil between him and Allah. And once that veil is between him and Allah, the heart becomes completely contaminated. It has no power now to accept any kind. Allah must save us. Because let me tell you that it's a sin that very, very ripe in our own society. And we feel nothing about it. Committing that kind of sin. So when that can take place, then the heart is not prepared to accept anything. So Imam Ghazali rahmatullah says very nicely, said that heart goes astray. Like in the hadith it mentioned, that when a person commits one sin, a black spot is written in his heart. The moment he makes tawbah, that black mark goes away. But when he continues him committing the sin all the time, and he does not prepare to make tawbah at all, that mark becomes so dark. To that extent, then that mark cannot come out. And when the mark cannot come out, thereafter, what's the meaning of that? I don't have to tell you. I feel hard to say it to you. Then because iman is now at his liberty. He can lose his iman too. Because he lost his. So Imam Ghazali Rahmatullah says very nicely, he says, that the noor of haq goes away. The noor of Allah goes away from him. When he completely becomes persistent in committing sins, then Allah's noor goes away from him. And once the noor goes away, then you must know that nothing we can do. Nothing we can do. And leave that this alone. That the earnings become haram also. The earning becomes haram. That is a very dangerous thing when our earnings become haram. You must understand a very important thing. If your earnings are haram, your everything becomes haram. Your body becomes haram. You see haram, you hear haram, you do haram. Everything becomes open to you. And today we are not concerned about it. It is so, it's openly been done. So it's obvious that once your earning is haram, then everything else goes haram. So Imam Ghazali says that the first thing a person has to do, if he wants to come to the straight path, he must make his earning halal. His earning halal. Ya ayyuhar rusul, kulu min at-tayyibat wa'malu saliha. Allah Ta'ala says, ya ayyuhar rusul. He's talking to the Nabis. They will never do anything haram. kulu min at-tayyibat, eat that is halal. Eat that is halal. You rather eat dry bread than it is haram. We are not concerned, we don't show any real importance to halal and haram. We are becoming part of our nafs. That's why they say that the nafs must be far from you in every time, in every difficulty or any condition. You must be very far from the nafs. If you keep your nafs far from you at every condition of yours, and you're going through some bad condition at that time, the nafs is most nearest to you, keep far from the nafs. It tells you, do it now. Never mind, do it. That's the time you must keep away from nafs. The nafs is the most dangerous thing. It will tell you, you're very sick. Never mind, have this thing too. You just do it. Ladies who go wrong, doing wrong places, nafs tell you. So do not become, Imam Ghazali says, keep your nafs as far as possible from all your harms. So halal earnings is the most important thing. If you do not have halal earnings in you, there will be no good action at all. Junaid Baghdadi, rahmatullah alayhi. He was in the wind for 40 days to make chilla, making zikr, nothing happening. He said, what's happening? Why is it that I'm not getting the benefit? They should go in the jungles, they should go in the mountains and sit around and just meditate and make dua to Allah Ta'ala and zikr. Nothing happening. He said, what is this? Where am I going wrong? They say, you know, through Imam Ghazali Rahman says, if your earnings are good, your namaz is good. If your earnings are good, your namaz is good. Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. Allah's words can never be wrong. Allah says, inna salata tanha. Allah's salat is sufficient, is alone to prevent you from all indecent acts. Prevents you. So your halal, if you eat halal, then the effect will be halal. But if you eat haram, the effect will be haram. That my husband once said, that when a person reads namaz, he reads with so much of khushu and khuzu, the namaz has got its effect. But when a man leaves the house or the mosque and he goes out, now it is obvious this month that salah will keep him away from all the wrongs. The cars, you can't worry about it. Cars, you know, they're parking, they must park the right places. Well, what's happening? What car is that now? Well, not, mustn't park on driveways now. That is very sad. No, it's a Hyundai ND610869. It's a very big guna to cause inconvenience to anyone. Not ever, no matter who it is. So my husband said this much, that you went, you read namaz, you made dua, everything you made, you did everything the right way. But the moment you went outside, you saw a woman, your eyes went towards her, and you began to look at her. What have you done? You have weakened the effect of whatever is there. You have weakened the thing. You are so strong. Allah made you strong here in namaz. But when you go outside, you've been weakened because of your eyes being placed in the wrong place. You saw the wrong things. Whether it's your cell phone, whether it's a woman. Anyway, if you begin to look at those things, what have you done? If the doctor tells you, look, I'm giving you this, his husband gave this example. The doctor says, I'm giving you this medication, make sure you take it properly, but keep away from certain things. Now you're not keeping away from those certain things, what will happen? There will be no effect. It will weaken up. So likewise, when you're reading the salah, you took so much of precaution and all the rest of it. And when you came out of the masjid, you forgot that you read namaz. So when you forgot you read namaz, what happens to you? That you've seen all that wrongs that's happening around you, which you caused yourself to be harmed. Then what do you expect to do? So it is important that, you know, that one has to always bear this in mind, that you must keep away from sins. Don't persist. And one thing we have noticed that when you commit sin of those things which you have knowledge of, that is bad. For example, I'm telling you, personal businesses today, nowadays, is full of riba. Full of riba. Not even worried about it. He knows he's wrong. No doubt, you know, it's not good for him to do that. He must, although he acknowledges I'm doing wrong, but slowly, gradually, he must come out of it. Not that he must go more into it. A person is drowned in whatever it was, he got drowned into riba. Okay, you got drowned, but now come out of it. It's not that you must still remain in it and put yourself more into harm. Allah Ta'ala look at him and he's coming out of it. He said, that's a very big quality that is, I made a mistake, Allah forgive me. And now he comes out of it. But instead of coming out of that, what is he doing? He's more getting drowned at him and doing more and more. So when he's doing more and more, what is that? That's called persistence. That he knows he's wrong, but he's still doing it. So that is the time when the door closes for him. So this is very important, that is important that we have to know this much. And even though one side is Rahman, when you begin, one side is Rahman, Allah Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala will brighten you. And one side is Shaitan. One time is Allah Ta'ala is Rahman, is brighten you. That means you come to the masjid, Allah will brighten you. Another side is Shaitan, he is trying to darken you. Now you become in this position that you will become bright on one side. That is why they say that it is very important to need a guide. You need a guide. Every moment we need a guide. If you don't need a guide, you'll be completely getting it because the road is twisty, turning and twisting all the time. Sometimes you begin to exceed certain things we're not supposed to do. And sometimes you come so down to do those things you're not supposed to do. There's no moderation. There's no moderation. With no moderation, so for to bring that moderation in us, we have to be a guide. Sahaba Ikram also had a guide. The Sahabi wanted to read whole night namaz. Nabi Ikram stopped him. They went and asked Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, how did Nabi Ikram his ibadat? He said, this is what he's doing in a day, eat, drink, everything at night. He said, no, it is for him, okay, but we must not do that. When Rasulullah heard about it, he was very angry. He said, I'm a sufficient example for you. You must not do more than what I do. Like in the end, I fear Allah Ta'ala most. I fear Allah Ta'ala most. There's no one fear more than me, Allah Ta'ala. I'm showing you the middle road. That is why he said that until, unless you do not have a mushaykh, a guide, you will be completely going on the wrong route. You won't know what you are doing. And the thing is that when you give yourself to a sheikh, and so unfortunately, my husband says, today there's two sheikhs. One is a sheikh who suits you, and another sheikh that what you want to do. Whereas you really want a sheikh, if you really want to put yourself to a sheikh, that's why I think million times you're going to become bad. Because then all you'll benefit, others you won't benefit. Because when the sheikh tells you to do anything, you must be happily do it without any questions. It does not make sense to me, he told me to do that. There are no questions asked, I'm going to do it. If he told you not to wake up with tahajjud namaz, no matter what you want to do, you must not wake up. You don't question him. He'll tell you to do this or that. Whatever he tells you to do, it does not make sense to you. But if you want to follow a sheikh, then follow him the correct way. Take him as he is my guide. I know he will not mislead me. It does not make sense to me, but if you tell, don't open that business, no matter what you want to do, don't open it. You know? Whatever it is. You say, don't go for Hajj. Hey, you're telling me not to go for Hajj. Baba, what happened here now? But don't go for Hajj. Don't go for Hajj. Don't go. He knows why he's telling you that. Don't go for Umrah. Don't. That is what you call you following a mushaykh completely, that you're not following your nafs at all. That is the most important thing. That's why they say, if it does not make sense to you, then too you follow him. He said, that is my guide. I don't want it. You want to commit sin like this. You tell you commit sin something else. But here he'll tell you, don't do it. But not do it. Hazrat gave one incident. You must have heard it too. One person, three people came to Hazrat, but that Buzruk, and told him, Assalamu alaikum wa sallam. Then leaving now, he said, Hazrat, give us some advice. He said, what advice must I give you all? So he said, don't eat elephant meat. Don't eat elephant meat. Hazrat, elephant meat? Who don't eat elephant meat? What must I tell you? That is coming from my mouth now. That is coming from my mouth, that's what I'm telling you. Don't eat elephant meat. Now they took it lightly, they went to it. On the road, they got lost. Now there were no cars there, no this and that. They have to walk. When they saw they got lost, they didn't know what to do. And getting dark too. Feeling hungry too. They sat down one side. They saw elephant. One elephant baby came. They said, you know what? We are hungry. Let's slaughter this one. One said, don't do it. Don't do it. What did the Shaykh tell? This is the most important point Maharaji tells us this word. What did the Shaykh tell? You see, if you are true love for your Shaykh, that for the sake of Allah. Because today the love for the Shaykh is for dunya. I want to meet good stay with this buzuk, I get a lot of money coming. My bank balance is high. True love for the Shaykh will be that he did what he tells me to do, I will do no matter what it is. The two of them said, no, we are hungry, we're going to eat. The third said, no, I'm not going to eat. No matter what happens, I'm not going to eat. Okay? They slaughtered them. And they ate. Now you know, when they ate, it was flat eating now. They got flat also, they will sleep. They slept, but the one who did not eat, he couldn't sleep at all. He couldn't sleep at all because he's not eating. And so happened the mother of elephant came. Mahazar giving this advice. Now listen to it very carefully. He came. You know, mother animal, no matter it is, love for the animal, there's something else. There's a mother loves a child. Rabbi Karim sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, look at that mother, how much of love that got for a child. He said, Allah Ta'ala got so much more love than that for a mu'min. Allah Ta'ala got more love for a mu'min. What you know? You understood? What you understood? Allah got more love for a mu'min. A mother is crying for the mother. She can she give her life for the mother, for a child. When the sahabi said, what muhabbat is this? What muhabbat is that? From where the muhabbat is coming, what kind of muhabbat he's got? What kind of muhabbat Allah got? So just imagine, we have to think, if Allah got so much muhabbat for us, how much we will be kind to him and be always following his command. So the elephant came round and round. As he said, look at it. Mahazar should give examples to give a lesson to. He said, came. That one person who was not sleeping, he saw the elephant coming, he just lied down. He says, Khuda khair kare. Khuda khair. Came, saw the baby was eaten and all. Now Mano is very angry. But he came. He could have trampled them all. He said, first he smelled them. As he said, Dekho, dekha, what he seen. He saw, oh, this fellow, yeah, you know. He ate my baby. He's now furious about it. Kill that person. Now you're going to second person. The anger is more stronger now. Not weaker, stronger now. He's coming there now for the second one. Goes and sees that the same animal now killed him also. But then he goes the third one, smelling. He said, Dekha, isko kehte hai tahammul hilm, tolerance. How angry he was with the thing, but he came to the reality, he said, no, this person did not eat, how can I kill him? We are like that, if you got something against him, you take even another person. To bring that condition of hilm in us, tolerance. That how to handle yourself in a situation, was it trying to say us. So in the end, the animal saw that he did not eat. He actually lifted him up and put in his back and took him out. So look at the Shaykh told him something. Would you took your Shaykh's advice to be nothing? Your life is gone. That person took the life, the Shaykh's advice to be something. He got something. So do not, when you want to have a Shaykh, do not just jump to make a Shaykh. Think a million times, am I prepared to follow him or not? If you don't follow him, don't follow. But once you give yourself to him, then you must understand that there's no ways of this much that you must turn back. He can tell you to wake up whole night, you have to wake up. He'll tell you to sleep the whole night, you sleep. He'll tell you anything. Like once, one shares. He told his, one murid told his Shaykh, Hazrat, I want to see Allah. Now you can't tell us, because we're not that kind. If you tell us, we say, why you sleep away? So he told him, don't eat your fard namaz of Isha. Now I'm telling you what it is when you come to a Shaykh. And that to Mahazi gave us the example. I also read in the kitab, Alhamdulillah. So there he says, don't eat first of us. But it was so strong in his heart, he couldn't do it. He read his first of the mass and slept away. When he slept away, Nabi Karim Sallam came to dream. Mera kya kasur ho gaya? Why did you do that? You did then. Did it. Got very worried now. The next day he goes to the sheikh and told him, Hazrat, this what happened. He said, yes, this what happened. But you left that, something else would happen. If you left that, something else would happen. In other words, he knows who to say, what to say. Who to say. He can't say everyone that. He knew who to say and what to say. So this to tell you that it's important that whatever you have, Sheikh is a very important person in your life. You do not have to, you tell you to do certain things no matter how he tells you to. Today you don't make no zikr. Just sit down quietly. You must do that too. Do not become follower of your nafs. Today we are following our nafs. Our nafs tell do that. No, do not follow your nafs. Whatever it is. To follow your nafs means that whatever your desire is now, I want to do and do that. Tomorrow I don't read Quran because nafs say not to read Quran. But the Shaykh would say, read Quran every day. Read Quran every day. Now your nafs say, don't read, you still read. So this is what it is. So coming back to the main subject is committing sins. Why is it that we know we are losing out in our lives? Because the two sins that is very, very dangerous, as the Thani Rahmatullah mentioned, I was reading it today, the two sins is the eyes and the heart. The eyes and the heart. That's the most dangerous sin. No other sin, because the eyes have caused all the harms. These eyes look at the wrong things. If a person got a habit of looking at women, he look at it all the time. And there's no such thing as young or old. An old man, if he's got a habit of looking at women, he look at it all the time. And don't think he started old age. In his youth, he was doing that. In his youth, he was committing that sin. And he continuously make committing the sin to that point, where when he becomes old too, it becomes his sickness then. That sickness will become plague. He cannot come out of his heart. Just imagine Allah, my father. It has become very open now. Old people too. Do you see what they're doing? Young people too. The eyes. The eyes is haram that you make away from because the thing goes into the heart. The eyes, if you can see that this person is committing one guna, if you see a person looking at a woman, you can see he's committing. But the heart, no one will see. The heart is even more severe. What you're doing here in your heart, you're enjoying yourself in your heart, thinking of someone and enjoying yourself. No one knows besides Allah. No one knows. So what are you doing? You're polluting yourself. That was saying when a person, four things which is more difficult for him to live, to do. One is a time, forgive a person at a time of anger. To forgive a person at a time of anger. That's a very great quality, to forgive a person at a time of anger. Just imagine you're angry and you forgive that person, like that buzruk, you know. When his servant threw that hot food on his hand, he looked at her and was angry, but the moment he said, وَالْقَعْضِ مِنَ الْغَيْثِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ He forgave her and he freed her. So it's very easy to say, I'm going to forgive, but a time of anger to go. One of the other things is to stay pure at a time when you're no one with you. To stay pure at the time when no one is with you. Very difficult. This is what I'm trying to say, the heart. The heart must be so clean. The heart is only for one, Mahazir to say, is for who? Allah. Is Allah. And Allah can only come into that heart which is pure. No other heart it goes to. So this heart has to be clean all the time. So we are contaminating our heart with looking at all the wrong things and we're enjoying ourselves inside which no one knows besides Allah. No one knows about it. They say, you know, outwardly the man looks very, very pure and everything, but inside is shaitan. Inside is shaitan. So this is what is a very important thing to understand. As far as possible, we have to keep our heart clean. And these two shades, one is the eyes. The eyes is very, very dangerous. If through the eyes, you look at the wrong things. And I'm not going to go into cell phone all the time. Because all my time, my subject is cell phone. Because everything that people look at, all the filth. All the filth. The good things you are doing, the bad things. At night, the wife is sleeping. The husband is busy with the cell phone. If the husband is sleeping, the wife is looking at the cell phone. So that's how it's carrying on. So you are making your whole life filthy, you know. So this is what it is. That's why when Buzruk was crying and he walking around the Taaba and he's saying, Allah min a'udhu min ghadabika. Oh Allah, prevent me, protect me from your ghadab, means your wrath. See, Rahman asking, why are you talking so much like that? He said, because I know I committed one guna, I look at one woman or a boy. Allah punish me for that. I'm frightened if not that Allah will punish me again. So just imagine, he just looks at the boy with a bad, evil heart. That, you know, that evil heart. Today we look at women, we look at them with the lust and desire and talk to them. We do not know that's all called zina. And with zina, you don't know zina of the hand, zina of the heart. You may put the hand and all, you're not supposed to touch someone, not to speak with someone. But the heart is something only Allah Ta'ala knows. And that is something a man maybe whole night, you know. That's why they say many people who get that lust and desire to see a woman, and then when they sleep with their wife, they've got the woman in front of him without a wife. They're thinking they're doing that will work with a woman. That's why Hazrat should say, it's haram. It's haram. But the Thani Rahmatullah said, I was so careful that if I go to my first wife, I make sure my heart is only with her, no one else. So that is the halal, and he kept it. And we are, Qudana Kare, Allah forbid, that you find people who look at women, whatever they do, and day after they commit zina in that way. The zina of the hand, zina of the hand, to touch someone with lust and desire, to talk to someone with desire. This is happening very often nowadays. So Allah Ta'ala, how many hifadat farmaya, because that's a very big guna. So what's the benefit? One side, you do so much of good, and another side, wash away it. Allah Ta'ala, how many amal kani ki tawfiq asifah. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله. اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك. اللهم أحسن عاقبتنا في الأمور كلها وأجرنا من خزي الدنيا وعذاب القبر وعذابنا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. ربنا لا تجعلنا في القوم الظالمين ونجنا برحمتك من الكافرين. ربنا لا تجعلنا في الكفر واغفر لنا ربنا إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم. اللهم إنا نجعلك في النحورين ونعوذ بك من شرورين والله خير الحافظ ورحم الراحمين لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالعظيم حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل نعم المولى ونعم النصير صلى الله تعالى على كل سيدنا محمد برحمتك يا رب.